Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. For the remainder of this hour and of the program on this Monday afternoon, November the 3rd, we're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, a regular guest and host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We're looking at Abraham and Isaac, in particular Genesis chapters 21 and 22. 22 should probably ring a bell with you, because here is the chapter where God tested Abraham. Now, this is some test. Remember, Abraham had been called from the land of his fathers, his forefathers, as a pagan out of Ur of the Chaldees. He had been sent walking to a land that God said, I will show it to you. He gets there, he shows it to him. He says, this is yours, and it's all your descendants' land, but he doesn't give him the land. In conjunction with that, he promises him many descendants to make of him a great nation, but it doesn't happen right away. In fact, for 25 years, Abraham and Sarah wait until God gives them a descendant, just one, Isaac, son of the promise, in their old age, a miracle baby, in about every sense that you could have a miracle baby. And then at some point later, it says in Genesis chapter 22, God tested Abraham. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
Why would God do this? At long, long last, give Abraham and Sarah this child that will be the child through whom all of his descendants will be numbered. No other child, not the other child, Ishmael, that Abraham had tried. And then say, take your son, your only son, go to the mountain that I will show you, and there on that mountain, sacrifice him to me.
I want to take just a moment on whether God tested Abraham. Unfortunately, this word, both in the Greek and the Hebrew, can also be translated as tempted. In fact, what's so sad here is the King James Version and a couple of other versions say, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And they use the word tempt rather than test. The problem I have with that, it's pretty clear in James chapter 1, let no one say when he is tested, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. So I took a bigger look at this word to test and discovered that actually a testing is really a way in which God is strengthening us. Like if they test metal, they may put more heat on it, etc. And I've got some Bible verses, again from James. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, because obviously killing Isaac was a trial, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. In fact, the same word is used in Matthew 4:1 when Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And so, if you go to 1 Corinthians 10, it says that all these things were happening in the Old Testament as an example, but they were written down for our instruction on whom the end of the ages has come. And we're going to find out that the instruction is so that God is using Abraham as a wonderful example of sure faith.
So this is, it certainly can't be tempting, as you said, because number one, God doesn't tempt anyone, but also this would not have been any temptation to Abraham at all, would it? I mean, go kill your son. No thanks. Temptation over. It is the is it to demonstrate Abraham's faith? Is that what you said?
Yes, it's actually to have Abraham as an example for us, because we are told to do silly things also. We're supposed to go forward in a church service and receive a morsel of bread and a sip of wine and believe that that is the true body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I mean, there's absolutely no evidence for that at all, except God's promise. Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. So also with Abraham, he, I'll agree with you, was not going to be tempted if he simply said no, but he went ahead and he said yes. Does that mean that he no longer believed the promise of God? And the answer to that isn't even found in the Old Testament. You have to go to the New Testament, and we'll do that when you're ready.
You're saying that this test is not to cause him to doubt the promise, but in fact to reinforce the promise?
Yes, it's to reinforce the promise, because if God says one thing, through Isaac, all the nations of the world will be blessed. By the way, go ahead and kill Isaac. There must have been something in the faith of Abraham, for which he had already had some evidence, that moved him to believe that the promise would still be fulfilled. Because Abraham wasn't just going to use a knife to kill Isaac, he was also going to burn him. So, maybe this is the time to go to the Hebrews passage, because it also says, by faith Abraham, and Hebrews 11 is all about all the reasons people did things through faith, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Now, verse 19 is probably the most important verse for the Sunday school teachers. He considered, Abraham, that God was able even to raise him from the dead. Now, nobody had been raised from the dead up to that point, Todd, in the whole Old Testament. So how could that be possible? But Abraham had an example of raising from the dead in a sense. As it continues, he was able, God, to raise Isaac from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. And what we're talking about, of course, is the dead womb of Sarah. So if God can bring life from a dead womb of a 90-year-old woman, he certainly can bring life back to one who is going to be sacrificed on an altar.
So the book of Hebrews tells us clearly kind of what was going through Abraham's mind, why when tested and commanded to sacrifice Isaac, he just went.
Yes, it shows he trusted the promise. And that promise, therefore, moved him to believe that, okay, I can put him to death, but he will be raised again from the dead.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with him on Abraham and Isaac in Genesis chapters 21 and 22. So now we know why Abraham gets up and goes. We'll talk about the details of the journey to Moriah and what happened there with Pastor Tom Baker right after this.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
It's here. It's here. It's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition. A comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
Issues, etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. Why do you listen? How has it helped you? What are your favorite topics? Who are your favorite guests? And what makes Issues Etc. unique? Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Issues Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while. To answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, talking about Genesis chapters 21 and 22, Abraham and Isaac in particular. Abraham taking Isaac to a mountain to sacrifice him to God at God's command. So now, Tom, we understand why he went and did this. Tell us the story. How does it come about? How do Abraham and Isaac get to the mountain, and what happens in the intervening time?
Well, after God tells him to take your son, your only son, Isaac, and go into the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. And so Abraham gets up in the morning, gets his donkey, takes two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cuts the wood for the burnt offering, arose and went to the place which God had told him. And on the third day, he lifted up his eyes. Now, this is something that I have missed for years as a pastor. I was made aware of it by Peter Kurowski in a book he has written on this. But Abraham says to the young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." Now, in the ESV and the King James, the "come again to you," you don't know if it's just referring to Abraham or is Isaac included. But when you take a look at the original Hebrew, the word to return again is a plural. And therefore, I really like the New American Standard. "I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and return to you." So here's Abraham on his way up to sacrifice his son as a burnt offering, but he promises these two young men that both he and his son are going to return to them. And here we see the great faith of Abraham in the resurrection of the dead. He already believes in this, or else he never would have said, "We both will return to you," under the view that he will be sacrificing Isaac.
So his expectation is, putting the Hebrews in the text there that you were highlighting for us together, he is going to go there. He fully expects to have to sacrifice him.
Yes.
To and this, as you said before, the sacrifice isn't just to take his life, but to offer him as a whole burnt offering, that is to burn Isaac's body. And he fully expects that there will be a resurrection so that he and the son can return to the two young men.
Yes. That's a wonderful promise. Now, where does Abraham get this? This has to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. Nobody became a believer apart from the Holy Spirit, because it's just nonsense to believe this, particularly since there have been no, as I've already said, instance in the Old Testament readings up to then that anybody had been raised from the dead. But here, Abraham, because Isaac came from a dead womb, he believes that Isaac will be raised from the dead, even if he needs to sacrifice him.
Do we have any kind of insight here as to why God would? It's not, we've talked about how he confirms Abraham's faith in this, but why would he say, you know, go sacrifice him to me? It's not just go and kill him or do away with him. It's sacrifice him to me.
As 1 Corinthians 10 says, all of the Old Testament was written as an example for us, and they were written down for our instruction. And in that great Emmaus Road experience, Jesus points out again and again where he is in the Old Testament. Now, we're actually going to meet him as the angel of the Lord in verse 19 and following, but up to then, we have some very interesting similarities. And I do want to thank the Concordia Publishing House material for alerting us to this. Both of them, Isaac and Jesus, are led to a mountain to die. Both of them carry the wood upon which Isaac will be laid and Jesus will be hung. The only thing here, and the CPH material makes this point, is because a ram appears, that is more in tune for the sacrifice, as Jesus was a ram. And one of the reasons a ram has horns and often reminds us of the thorns on Jesus' head. And that was a symbol in the early church, the ram, in expressing the death of Jesus with the thorns upon his head.
Now, they're going along. The sun, something begins to dawn on Isaac as they walk together, father and son, ready for the sacrifice, that they don't have a sacrifice. And he says to Abraham, says to him, the Lord will see to it, or the Lord will provide. What's in those words, Tom?
What is there is Isaac is aware that they got the fire and the wood, but they don't have the animal for the burnt offering. And it is then that Abraham says, and we're reading verse 8, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. Now, Abraham is thinking, of course, that Isaac will be that sacrifice. But oftentimes, we find this even in the New Testament, the high priest says something, and unbeknownst to him, he's actually giving a prophecy about Jesus, that one, is it necessary that one will die for the nation? And the answer God has is yes. So even though these are the words of Abraham, he still has not yet grasped the full implications of this. It's not that he's going to be slowly bringing the knife down, waiting, okay, Lord, where's the ram? Where's the ram? No, he really believes that his son is going to be the sacrifice, and therefore says something to Isaac just to try and get him to keep coming.
So they go there, and you mentioned here the angel of the Lord. He allows Abraham to come to the knife's point of the sacrifice. Abraham binds Isaac. He ties him up like as they did the sacrifices. We have that in one of the Psalms, bind the festal sacrifice. He lays his body on the wood. He takes the knife, and it's kind of slowing down into slow motion, and he raises the knife to kill his son. Only then do we meet the angel of the Lord. Talk about it, Tom.
Yeah, just before I do that, I did a sermon, and I talked about the faith of Isaac. You know, I've often wondered how you would ever film certain things, like the blind man that Jesus heals, blind since birth, and then he goes to the pool. How would you film that? People are saying, well, what are you doing with all that mud all over your eyes? And it'd be just kind of strange. How did Abraham get Isaac up on the altar? There's no conversation going on here. I remember one film I saw that Abraham came toward Isaac to pick him up, and Isaac fainted. And that's how they got around the argument. But I also said in the sermon that it appears that Isaac had a faith also given to him that, look, there's no fighting of Abraham against Abraham. There's just a fact that he's just going to be laid on the altar. And one can only imagine what's going through his mind. And though the scriptures are silent on that, it kind of shows that faith can become contagious, and that perhaps Isaac also was ready for what Abraham thought he was going to do.
The angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham," and he said, "Here am I. Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me." What's in those words, Tom?
Yes. This is really difficult to understand because God is omniscient. He knows ahead of time that Abraham was going to do that. Then why did he do it? Well, it's the same reason that God allowed his son to go to the cross for us. Abraham, and as you know, Hebrews chapter 11 has a big section about Abraham. Abraham is an example to us. One of the bumper stickers I just really dislike is, "God said it, I believe it, that settles it." Well, no. Whether you believe something or not, once God says it, that settles it. So a much better bumper sticker is, "God said it, that settles it." What Abraham, his faith now believes what God has said, that somehow there is going to come a blessing to all the nations. And it's going to come through this young son of his that he is about to sacrifice. But the Lord stops him, and he says, "Now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." This is not new information to God, because God would not have permitted Abraham to kill the son. And therefore, God knew his faith would keep him from killing the son. But it's an example to Abraham again and again. We need a reminder of our faith. Remember, he's already given a couple to Abraham. First of all, Isaac was circumcised, which is a sign of being part of the family of God. Also, his name is Isaac, which reminds of the laughter of both Abraham and Sarah, and also future laughter that's coming about. So God continues to remind us, and that's why he gives us the Holy Sacrament of Baptism and the Holy Sacrament of the Lord's Supper, which we need to receive often as an assurance that God is saving us.
After the angel of the Lord commands him not to harm Isaac, Abraham looks up and sees the ram, as you mentioned before, caught in the thicket by its horns. He takes the ram. And it says, Abraham sacrificed the ram, took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Does this ram become the substitute for Isaac?
Yes, and it points forward to the substitute for us, none other than Jesus himself, particularly since this is not an angel of the Lord, it's the angel of the Lord. And we know it's God, because in verse 15, it says, "And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time and said, 'By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son.'" So the language is so clear that the angel of the Lord is saying that which is declared by the Lord himself. And the word Lord there is using the name of God, Yahweh. It's not the Adonai, meaning the Lord of a manor or something. It is the official name of God that, of course, Moses is going to hear once more in Exodus 3.
When we come back, we're going to have another 10 minutes with Pastor Tom Baker teaching a Sunday school lesson on this story in Genesis chapter 22. where Abraham almost sacrifices Isaac and ends up sacrificing instead the ram that God has provided. He names the place in verse 14. He calls the place the Lord will provide, and it is said to this day, on the mountain of the Lord it shall be provided. We'll talk about those words and the reiteration of the promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22 right after this. Is the Lord's Day sanctified by man's work or man's rest? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details former Baptist minister Dennis McFadden's journey to the objectivity of the Lutheran Confession of Faith. The free Issues Etc. journal.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the divine service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
You don't have to live in the St. Louis area to take advantage of the great deals at Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale. You can purchase resources online, November 3rd through the 10th at cph.org. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues Etc. during the Concordia Publishing House's online warehouse sale, November 3rd through the 10th, cph.org. Shop online, cph.org. Talking about the near sacrifice of Isaac, there is a sacrifice that's made by Abraham there on that mountain, a substitutionary sacrifice pointing us forward to Christ. It's Pastor Tom Baker who's with us teaching a Sunday school lesson on Abraham and Isaac. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, those words come back, the Lord will provide. He said it earlier to Isaac as they were going to the sacrifice. Now that God has provided the sacrifice, Abraham actually names the place the Lord will provide. What's that about?
That actually is a mountain upon which David was quite familiar with. He had sacrifices there. But we also believe that this is where Jerusalem will be founded, on this particular mountain. And isn't it interesting that that mountain, Golgotha, as found in the Old and the New Testament, upon which Jesus was crucified, shows a lot of similarities, as I've already said, with that of Isaac. Both led to a mountain to die, both bearing the sacrificial wood.
So then the angel speaks a second time, and as you mentioned before the break, the angel speaks here in the first person as God himself.
Yeah.
So we find here Christ before his incarnation, and he says, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and surely multiply your offspring. And he goes right back into the promise to Abraham of many descendants. Tell us about it.
This is just repeating what God has said is Genesis 12 and 15. I always enjoy looking at a graph with all the patriarchs down the line, and it goes into the house of Judah all the way to Jesus. And we see how each one of them contributed somehow to being a descendant of Jesus, leading to the fulfillment of the promise. Had Ruth not married Boaz, the promise would have failed. There would have been no continuation of the line. So this is what it means. God not only provides in these situations, he not only provides for your salvation, but this could be a great sermon title, that he provides for everything in your life here on earth.
There's a connection here between obedience. Abraham obeys, and it says, because you listened to my voice, because you did not withhold your son. And then he says at the very end here, because you have obeyed my voice, at the end of that promise in verse 18. And yet we're told in the New Testament that it's not Abraham's obedience, but his faith that is by which he is reckoned righteous before God. How do you sort that out, Tom?
I would say to my children, I know you're my children because you show up at the dinner table and you have obeyed us when we say dinner is at 5 o'clock. That is not the reason they are our children, but it is the evidence that they have become our children, because they eat with us at 5 o'clock with the rest of the family. It's very similar to Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats. God compliments the sheep for the things they have done, but not as the reason they're going to heaven, but as the evidence that they are already on their way to heaven, because what they have done are not just good works, like every unbeliever can do. They are also fruit of the Holy Spirit, motivated by the Holy Spirit, given to them in that baptism where their body has become the temple of the Holy Spirit. So in this, we need to be very careful. The good works are never the cause of our being saved. They are the result of our being saved. As Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing.
So let's return here in the last few minutes to the subject of resurrection. Abraham believed that Isaac would be resurrected. Of course, that would be a resurrection wherein Isaac would be brought back to life, but then, of course, die again. What is the resurrection from the dead that Jesus promises to us?
Yes, the belief that Abraham had would be much like we would liken to Lazarus. When Lazarus was risen from the dead, and you make a good point, Todd, he then died again. But because of Jesus' resurrection, our resurrection from the dead will be far more glorious. I just so happened yesterday, All Saints Day, I was preaching on this text that what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. And my question was, how is our ability to see Jesus as he truly is? How does that show a much more glorious resurrection? Well, I pointed out in Exodus 33, when the Lord is meeting Moses on Mount Sinai, he says, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And yet in Job 19, Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and after my skin has been destroyed, he's buried, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. And the point I was making is when we see Jesus as he truly is, it's going to be far more glorious than even the disciples saw on Transfiguration Mountain, maybe 1/1000th of his brilliance. We will truly see him because our eyes will be in a new resurrected body, able to look to the face of God, which no sinful human being here on earth was able to do. And therefore, our resurrection is going to be far more glorious than that had Isaac been raised, than when Lazarus was raised, or others that Jesus had risen from the dead. We're going to have a new body, and I would point everyone to 1 Corinthians 15, where this corruptible puts on incorruption that is not corrupted, even when we see Jesus face to face.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Pastor Baker will join us to lead a Sunday school lesson on Isaac and Rebekah. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
Special thanks to Pastor Randy Asbury and Hope Lutheran Church in St. Louis. They recently renewed their membership in the Issues Etc. 300. That's our congregational sponsorship program, congregations that include us every year in their budget and support Issues Etc. year by year in that way. Now, you can find out all about becoming an Issues Etc. 300 congregation by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. You'll find a one-page flyer you can download, print off, take to your congregation. This is the time when your congregation, if it's like mine, is getting together. They're meeting. They're having all those planning meetings for the budget of the coming year. They're setting the numbers in the budget, and we'd like Issues Etc. to be included in your congregation to be part of the Issues Etc. 300. So go to your congregation with that one-page flyer. Again, you'll find it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support, and you'll find it there. You can download, print it off, take it to your church council, and ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300. This is budget deadline time. This is a great time to ask. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to continue our series with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on responding to evangelical proof texts. We're going to discuss the biblical witness to the Holy Trinity. Dr. Kim Riddlebarger of the White Horse Inn will be our guest, and we'll talk with Frank Turek about how same-sex marriage steals rights from God. That's an interesting way to think about it. That'll be tomorrow on Issues Etc. Well, you know, Abraham is put in a position where he cannot refuse. Can he? He cannot refuse. God has required of him his son. And so he goes. He goes not knowing so much about what might really happen there on the mountain, but knowing the God who had both given him that son, who had commanded him to sacrifice him, but moreover, who had made the promise that through Isaac his descendants would be numbered. So he knew that he was in the hands of that merciful God. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois. And Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.